Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Will the songs be playing?
So 549, this is the first of two public hearings concerning the paramutual ordinance. It went before the planning board.
It's moving from Dog Track Road. Do they know where they're moving, where they want to move exactly? Someone asked me the other day, and I don't know.
So they have looked at several locations. There is a site identified, but it's not been finalized, given that we don't currently have zoning permission to be anywhere in the county. So the ordinance needs to be put in place so that we can get zoning approval and then close on a property.
So the voices you're hearing, voice of Meredith Bush, she is the attorney. She works with Will Dunaway, and they work on a lot of these cases. But this one in particular has to do with moving the race and gambling facility that's at the dog track now, moving it to another location. Remember, we talked about this the other day, a paramutual facility. There's only one allowed in every 100 miles, so it's not like, you know, we're going to get a second one, but they're trying to find a place to go. They had tried to go to a place right across from PCC, and that got thwarted a couple of years ago. And remember, the problem is that the ordinance specifically doesn't list them as an allowed use in the zoning district that they want to be. As I recall it, Will Dunaway said, you don't actually have to allow us within the zoning. We just need a letter saying that it's okay. The county has instead said, no, we need to have you listed in the actual ordinance. And so, you know, they're going back and forth on this. And the question was, would we add you to the ordinance, including state licensed paramutual facilities, would go in section 3-2.11B5, recreation and entertainment. And then it would be in the heavy commercial and light industrial zone. The concern is, well, if we allow you to be in that zone, and then this deal on Pine Forest, it's like behind the Ruby Tuesday and the Raceway, just south of I-10, that's where they're looking to go. And if that falls through, then any other place where there's that same kind of land zoning, heavy commercial, light industrial, you'd be allowed to go to, and we're worried about that. We want more control, Ashley Hoffberger says.
So my concern is, if something happens with that property and that falls through, if we approve this, then essentially they could go in any other piece of property zoned for this. So I would like to see it as a conditional use approved by the Board of County Commissioners.
I like the conditional use too, I think.
And the idea there is you got to get permission from the county commissioners, who are going to say no to a gaming facility in the wrong part of town, basically, where people don't really want it. Steve Stroberger.
We are having a community meeting about this. Meredith knows about it, and it's going to be on the 12th of March. That's next Wednesday, to talk about this at the Bellevue Library. And
that's tomorrow night at the Bellevue Library. They're going to be talking about this. Back to Ashley Hoffberger.
Okay, so if I make the motion that we move it to conditional use as approved by the Board of County Commissioners, it means they can go in where we approve it, but they would have to come to us first, so we would get the final stamp of approval.
So a conditional use.
Madam Attorney, you have a comment?
Yeah, so that would require that the actual wording of the ordinance be addressed and amended. And typically, conditional use, if it's going to come to the board, we would want some kind of criteria to work with for the board to apply. So I would recommend that either the board send it back to the planning board to consider adding that in, or give us specific direction and then allow that to be built in for subsequent public hearings.
And what Allison is saying is, if you're going to have the board with final say, you know, conditional use, then you need to have some kind of guidance about what criteria would more likely get you or less likely forfeit you that conditional use approval, because you don't want it to be like, hey, the gaming is allowed as long as you, three commissioners like you. Because you don't want that kind of capricious whim governing your policies. And it probably would be challenged in court and probably be struck down. And so she's recommending, if you are going to make there any kind of a conditional review, any kind of conditional use, you're going to have to create some structure within that. And, you know, which is right. You know, that's what you should have. It's kind of one of these semi-catch-22 things. Like, on the one hand, I like the idea of the county commission being able to say, bro, we're not putting a gaming facility across from PCC. On the other hand, I don't want the county commission to say, hey, we don't like you much, so no. Like, you know, you want there to be judgment, but you don't want there to be personal politics and that kind of stuff involved. So it is kind of an odd situation. Sometimes the rules make it so they can't do the right thing, which the law, the rules don't let them do basically the right thing, but you don't want there to not be rules because otherwise it's just whoever they happen to like, or it can become the rule. Horace Jones, who's the development director, I think is his title.
But we do have distance requirements against, it prohibits schools and things like that. Then, but there are prohibitions against certain type of uses. And there are distance requirement as well, 1,000 foot. So there are some, there are some protocols that are in place right now in this draft ordinance. I just want to bring that to attention to the board.
Because, I mean, it is a, you know, it's a gambling facility, and so there are rules. I mean, it's the, you know, Pensacola Greyhound track and poker room. Poker is goes on there, and there's also wagering, off-track wagering, which is kind of interesting. I didn't know the definition of parimutuel, so kind of, you know, had to look it up. Parimutuel is the idea that you're not betting against the house. You're betting against everybody else who's involved in the betting. Like in a poker game, although the house might take a cut, it's different than betting against the house. Same thing for the dog races. You know, somebody's going to win, the top three winners get money, but that's because everybody else put their money in. I just hadn't known the definition until I looked it up. So, you know, it's a gaming facility, and as Ashley Hoffberger is want to remind everybody, not everybody wants that.
I just feel like with it being such a... not the whole community is going to be on board with this type of business, that we need to be able to hear our constituents and make sure that we have a little bit more control over that location.
You know, people, you know, you have an ordinance against strip clubs, but if you didn't, you might have limitations on where they can go because not everybody wants one in their neighborhood. Some people really do, but, you know, a lot of people don't. And kind of this, you know, blue laws, kind of the idea that certain kinds of things, the tattoo parlors and bars and, you know, parimutuel wagering facilities are the kind of thing that not everybody's going to necessarily want down the road from them and their kids and their school, which there are already limits about that, but this specifically hadn't been an allowed purpose. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to let you know about. We're looking at I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even 9 Mile and Highway 90 look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you are considering selling a house, buying a house, maybe both, because that's pretty typical, or you want to add a second house, maybe it's a rental, maybe it's an investment, maybe it's just like you want a beach house, or maybe you kind of have always wondered, like, I'd like a beach house, I don't think I can afford a beach house. Well, I don't know whether you can either, but call Christine Leavenworth, she can tell you. And, you know, one of the things, I listened to her on Pep Talk the other day, and she was talking about how, look, housing prices, I mean, you know, housing choices are basically condition, location, and, you know, price. And if you know, you're going to get two and sacrifice on the third because they bounce off against each other. Well, you want a house on the beach? You know, you may not have to spend $1 million to get it, but you're probably going to get one that's not at the center. Maybe it's not in as great a condition, but then that's how you can afford it. And so the point is you may think you can and you can't yet, or you might not think you can, but you actually can. Call her and ask her. She talks to people about this kind of stuff all the time. Even if you just got a question, like you're not trying to do a transaction, you just have a curiosity question. Call Christina Leavenworth. She'll help you with that. 723-9158. Think of her as your comprehensive real estate resource. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. All right, back to the question of whether to move the what is currently at the old racing facility, because that, you know, the track got shut down because we voted to eliminate Greyhound racing in the state of Florida a couple years ago. It's kind of a weird place, by the way. I remember my wife and I biked back there one time, and the track is overgrown, at least at the time it was. It might be even worse now. And but then there's people in the, like, betting on stuff, but they can't bet on what's actually would have been happening out back because it doesn't function anymore. Anyway, so Stephen Berry, Commissioner District 5.
Why it's an activity. I mean, it's an activity that's now taking place. We have, you know, we have one possible proprietor of this type of activity in the county because of the because of the state limitations about about distance between operations. So.
And the current location doesn't impact any outdoor neighbors.
Meredith, I've got it. So.
Oh. Wow. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. John, you had your eyes lit, same way, reaction.
Ooh, yeah, my eyes lit up on that one, buddy.
That's okay, Meredith. You don't need to talk right now.
And the current location doesn't impact any outdoor neighbors.
Meredith, I've got it. So.
Oh, it just gave me the shudders.
We got you, Meredith. Don't worry.
Anyway, Stephen Berry talking about this. I'm talking right now.
I don't know that you could pinpoint another location in the county where it would be better suited. It doesn't appear, you know, for the size that they need for it.
You know, this is kind of a point he's making, is that there are not a lot of places they can do this. This seems ideally suited by the interstate, by Pine Forest. There's not a lot of residential back. There's some, but not a lot in that area. It's more of a commercial zone. And so it kind of makes sense. And actually, I thought Stephen Barry made an interesting proposal, because this was the first of two required hearings. And he basically says, because, okay, the concerns are, if you approve it in this particular zone and the deal on this land falls through, then they can go move it to somewhere else that's got that same zone, and they're free. They don't need permission from the county. We don't want that. On the other hand, we don't want to thwart them getting this deal because we won't give approval to that location for use in this particular way. And they're trying to find a way to thread the needle to kind of say yes to this location but not to anywhere else, without having to write some whole new ordinance about conditional use into the zoning. And so Stephen Barry's like, you know what? Can we just let this breathe for a couple of weeks, and maybe they can come back to us on second hearing, because first hearing doesn't really settle anything. Maybe this will all solve itself in time, which I actually thought was pretty good governance.
It takes two hearings. The first hearing doesn't actually do anything. So if these concerns stay in place for the next 2.5 weeks, then maybe we don't take it up at the second hearing. But if we at least move forward for the first hearing, I don't see the harm in that.
I would support that.
Yeah, that's Stephen Barry proposing to let it breathe, come back. Steve Stroberger, yes, two Steves on the board, and also a Hofburger and a Stroberger. Don't get confused. These names are all, they'll drive you crazy. But anyway, it's nobody's fault except the people who elected them. in the collective, right? Apparently there's a super popularity for burgers and Steves. You know, that's how I should refer to the county commission. Burgers and Steves. I don't know. It makes me laugh. Anyway, so Steve Stroberger is talking about this and not having it. Even though, remember, he's having the meeting tomorrow night at the Bellevue Library. Okay. He's your county commissioner for District 1, which is where this would go, and talking about it. And then Lumen May is going to chime in here in what I can only describe as maybe not Lumen May's finest moment.
So we're trying to get everybody together. This is the hard part, to have this discussion. We're going to have it at the Bellevue Library. I don't think we're going to have any problem with it, though. I don't think so.
What is it? Is it a poker room? What is it?
Wait, what? What? Is it a poker room? Sir. Yes! I mean, okay, but it gets worse.
I think so.
What is it? Is it a poker room? What is it?
Yeah, it's a poker room. I don't know.
Poker room.
Yeah, it can't become a casino. I don't believe it can, from what I understand reading about it. But
that's correct. It's not a casino. It's a card room, a game, certain types of gaming room.
Is it gambling?
Yeah, it's gambling.
It's gambling.
It's the operations
wagering
that are at the dog track currently. That's, I mean,
oh,
yeah, it's
okay.
it's
Is it gambling?
Is it gambling?
I mean, we're 10 minutes into this conversation, the county commission meeting, and they have had this conversation before. Many times. What? Come on.
Is it gambling?
Stop it. Oh. It's the Greyhound Track and Poker Room. There's only two things on the website. Poker and off-track betting with instructions on how to place a bet. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. Commissioner Beard? I move the 549.
All right, second.
Second.
All right,
yeah.
Please vote. All right, good discussion. Motion passes 5-0.
I mean, look, I'm always a fan of asking the question when you don't know the answer. You know, ask to find out, but be an uncertainty. I'll put it that way. 624 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Gun Show, this weekend in Crestview, Florida. Hundreds of guns, knives, ammo, coins, and more. This is a buy-sell trade event. Private sales and sellers welcome. It's a brand new event located at 410 West James Lee Boulevard, Crestview, Florida. Saturday, 9 to 4, and Sunday, 10 to 3. Admission just $10 a person. Kids under 14 are free. Discounts for law enforcement, military, firefighters, and first responders. For more information, go to usagunshowsfl.com. Investing in times like these can be scary. If you don't have the right person at the helm of your finances, Armada Advisors will put you on the right path to success. Find out how tomorrow at 9, as Wesley Odom with Armada Advisors will be on the Pensacola Expert Panel to find a better way to successfully invest your money and enjoy your retirement. That's tomorrow at 9 with Armada Advisors on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh?
I also want to highlight something that happened over the weekend in District 5, something I'm not especially familiar with, but it was it's ACA outdoor racing, mountain bike racing. If you're familiar with what people would commonly call trails and the in a wooded area, you know, that the university owns a majority of, off 10 Mile Road around the Chris plant, as well as but it's a majority university property. We had 5,000 young people riding those mountain trails this weekend.
5,000 competitors out at the UWF trails. That's Stephen Berry, District 5 Commissioner. That's his area. And, wow, that is a huge turnout. Have you ever, either John or David, you guys ever go biking back there?
Yes.
It's amazing. No.
It's a beautiful trail. I've hiked it a few times.
Oh, it's fantastic. And if you take the wrong turn, you can get in a place where you're like, I don't know if I'm going to get out of here alive. Like, it's pretty, like, it's great and scary. But, you know, the trail markings are, could be better.
Yeah, okay. I spent about a half a day out there I didn't intend to spend.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay.
One wrong turn.
We went out there a long time ago with the kids when they were, you know, maybe like 10 and in that vicinity, 8, 10, 12. And we're like, man, I hope we just survived this because you can get lost back in there pretty easily. Anyway. So 5,000 people. I'll tell you more about that in a second. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to let you know about right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Even 98 is showing no slowdowns. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks, John. And yeah, this was put together by Chris Forehand. Apparently the state attorney's office was one of the key organizers to this. And Anthony Aukamp, I think I'm saying it right, A-U-K-A-M-P is one of the other ones. So I don't know, just a really cool event.
Really, it's an opportunity to highlight a diversity of events that I think we have the opportunity to host here. You know, baseball, softball, basketball, those are things everybody recognizes. But, you know, the thought of, you know, 5,000 young people taking part in an outdoor mountain bike event in March in Florida is just something that, you know, I would not have considered as a possibility.
Yeah, me either. But that. Very cool, and I appreciate him saying something in the county commission meeting about it. It's 5,000 people out at UWF riding bikes. That's cool. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, U.S. and Ukrainian officials are holding talks today in Saudi Arabia in an attempt to get a ceasefire in the war with Russia. The start of the talks, which are not being attended by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, came just hours after Kyiv launched their large drone attack on Russia. Senate Democrats are pushing to reinstate veterans that they say were fired from the federal government without cause. Of course, this comes as DOJ's mass firings have affected, they say, about 6,000 veterans. They make up around 30% of the federal workforce, that according to New Jersey Democrat Andy Kim's office. And in New York, they've apparently fired more than 2,000 corrections workers as they're still attempting to end that ongoing strike. State Corrections Commissioner Daniel Martuscello tells reporters that any workers that didn't clock in Monday were fired.
Huh. Okay. Hey, coming up in a minute, we're going to talk with Brad Baker, the Santa Rosa County Administrator. And one of the things I want to address with him is the requirement or not to put chain link fences around retention ponds. It has just become one of my pet issues that I really care about. I want to get rid of them in Northwest Florida.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Talks to end the Russia-Ukraine war are happening in Saudi Arabia.
Secretary of State Marco Rubio and National Security Advisor Michael Waltz are meeting with a Ukrainian delegation today. A senior State Department official says the fact that the Ukrainians are willing to sit down signals they are serious about reaching a ceasefire deal.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, at least three people are reported killed in a Ukrainian drone attack on Moscow, the largest of the war there so far. A House vote's expected today on a spending bill needed to prevent a partial government shutdown starting Saturday.
Republicans will need near unanimous support in the House to advance a spending bill extending government funding through September. President Trump has been calling holdouts, urging support for the measure that increases military spending with cuts to some social programs.
Fox's Jared Halpern, the bill would then still need to get through the Senate with some support, at least from Democrats. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got partly cloudy skies. It is 50 degrees this morning in Pensacola. A woman said she was the victim of a targeted crime last week. This happened after she went to a local bank with her daughter.
We ended up cashing a check for several hundred dollars.
Well, and after that, she says she was followed from the bank by thieves who ended up breaking into her car while she was in another store. Her cash and checkbook were taken. The woman talked to Channel 3, wanted to stay anonymous. But Pensacola police say they've seen this before. One person is watching patrons either inside of a bank, maybe even outside with binoculars, and they look for somebody leaving with a large amount of money. Then they follow that person to try and steal it. Police say people should remain hyper-vigilant and call 911 if you believe you are being followed. Now, Pensacola Beach officials are gearing up to introduce their new fleet of trolleys just in time for this year's tourist season. The bright, modern new trolleys are going to replace their older models, which have now hit the end of their lifespan. The new trolleys are set to start their service on May 23rd. They'll run through September 1st. The county already has two of the new trolleys. A third one is expected to arrive in late June or in early July. The trolley system on Pensacola Beach will maintain its existing routes and hours. It offers free transportation for visitors all across the beach. A former Santa Rosa County school employee was arrested on a larceny charge yesterday. 57-year-old Kelly Short, she was the director of in-service and instructional technology for Santa Rosa County Schools. The district had been investigating possible misconduct involving financial transactions. The investigation reportedly concluded Short had been stealing from the school district for at least 2 years. She resigned in October. FDLE's now opened an investigation into the case as well. Short was booked into the Santa Rosa County Jail and released on $5,000 bond on Monday. Well, there's an effort to make daylight savings time year-round. More from Chris Bryan.
DST started Sunday, and two of Florida's senators, Ashley Moody and Rick Scott, are pushing for it to be year-round. They announced the Bipartisan Sunshine Protection Act to officially lock the clock and make daylight savings time the national year-round standard.
Thank you very much, Chris. The University of South Florida might be in trouble for not protecting Jewish students on campus. The U.S. Department of Education announcing yesterday that it is investigating USF, the University of Tampa, and 60 other schools from around the country for anti-Semitic harassment and discrimination. The DOE's Office of Civil Rights alleges the schools may have violated the Civil Rights Act by failing to protect Jewish students. The alleged violations include denying Jewish students uninterrupted access to campus facilities and educational opportunities. A USF spokeswoman tells the News Service of Florida that the school strives to provide an environment free from discrimination or harassment on any basis. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John.
Brought to you by the Watson Law Firm. If you've been injured in a car accident, visit watsonfirm.com. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 29 are looking good. If you're coming from Pace into Pensacola or vice versa via Highway 90, just be aware that there's some fog in the area. So just slow down. Take your time, my friends. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be looking at a beautiful day today with temperatures warming up into the 70s for your afternoon high. Plenty of sunshine overnight tonight, temperatures dropping back into the 50s. For Wednesday, nice sunny skies, high near 72. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. Rain chances build in on Thursday with a 50% chance of rain and a high near 71 degrees. Stay connected, Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEART Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 50 degrees right now in Pensacola. We've got 51 in Gulf Breeze and 44 in Milton. Our next news is at 7. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Nissan has announced its CEO, Makoto Uchida, will step down from his position on April 1st. He will be replaced by current Chief Planning Officer Yvonne Espinoza. The leadership shakeup comes less than a month after Nissan and Honda terminated merger talks. FinTech stocks were some of the deepest decliners yesterday as the NASDAQ suffered its steepest drop since 2022. Crypto-related companies Robinhood, Coinbase, and Strategy all notched double-digit declines. Analysts at JPMorgan Chase noted that sentiment has soured as of late in FinTech. Treasury yields were little changed this morning as worries over the state of the U.S. economy persisted. The benchmark 10-year Treasury yield was flat at 4.219%. The 2-year Treasury yield was up less than a basis point at 3.9% after falling to its lowest level since October. Futures are slightly higher amid recession fears. That's your money now.
The Bayou Hills Run, the official 5K and 10K City of Pensacola Championships, is back on March 29th at beautiful Bayview Park. It's called the Bayou Hills Run for a reason. These hills are no joke, but push through and you'll be rewarded with an epic post-race party the whole family will love. Sign up now at BayouHillsRun.org. The course takes you along scenic Bayou Tahar, winding through East Hill's stunning tree-lined streets before finishing back at the park. Every finisher in the 5K, 10K, and kids run gets a medal. And once you cross that finish line, celebrate with great food, drinks, music, and plenty of fun for the whole family, including a playground for the kids. Race day is March 29th, so don't wait. Register now at BayouHillsRun.org and bring the whole crew. The Bayou Hills Run, the official City of Pensacola Championship, a Pensacola sports event.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down, get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Izervay or Avacincaptad Pegol is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit izervay.com. That's I-Z-E-R-V-A-Y.com.
At Pinner Credit Union, we know that road trips don't start by driving into the sunset. A day at the beach doesn't begin with packing the car. Even car shopping doesn't really start at the dealership. Your new car journey begins with an auto loan pre-approval from Pinner Credit Union. Because at Pinner, auto financing is easy. And when you get pre-approval before you shop, you'll be ready to hit the road when you find the perfect car. Get started at pinair.org/carloan. Whether it's new, used, or refinanced, vehicle loans from Pinner Credit Union fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Hi, Santa Rosa County. I'm your District 2 and Board of County Commissioners Chair, Kerry Smith. It is my privilege to bring you the 2024 State of the County Address.
Over the past year, we've made great strides in improving the lives of our residents, advancing infrastructure, and fostering economic growth.
Yeah, the State of the County Address, something that you heard there, Kerry Smith, who's the chairman. They put this out last week, and I thought, you know, we don't do enough of the, like, what's happened in the last year. It's real easy to talk about what's happened in the last week or what's going on right now, but sometimes we don't think back about things that have been accomplished over the course of time. Brad Baker, who's a Santa Rosa County Administrator, whenever there's a Monday meeting, what there was yesterday, we like to have him on Tuesday. Brad, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And first thing, I'm going to brag on you for a second, although I'm sort of bragging on the board a little bit too, but yesterday's meeting was, oh my God, the most boring thing ever. And that's a compliment.
Hey, we appreciate that.
It's no Milton, thank God. And, you know, there have been times in the past when the meetings were not super boring and not necessarily good all at the same time. So well done. You know, there was not a single sound clip that I felt the need to grab from the meeting yesterday because it was, you know, no controversy almost at all. But I did want to give you a chance, you know, and so administering over a time of peace and prosperity and contentment is like it's hard to get used to. But let's talk a little bit about the things that have been done in the county over the last year. When you look back over this last year, which you've been the administrator for a little more than a year.
Yeah, it's been an exciting year. I think some of the things that Kerry hit, nailed it on the head with our State of the Union kind of speech there that he gave. But some of the things that I outlined, I mean, starting on the Var Beach, we just finished our renourishment project. So, mm-hmm. You know, that not only extends the amount of beach that we have, but it really helps stabilize that barrier island out there. And that's big for our tourism, big for the people who live out there. And then, you know, we've expanded a lot of our recreational opportunities. We have our pickleball courts up and running, which seem to be a very big hit. We have those at the bar and at the para complex now. We've made progress on the Woodbine Road. At least the southern end of that, and we had a couple of delays in that, but we should be seeing that wrapping up in the near future. Our economic development is just thriving, you know, whether it's Buffalo Rock, Hershey's, Damien's. We have the big project coming with Leonardo. They're getting really close to their phase one of that project and talking about future phases coming here.
That's at Whiting Field for those who aren't. That's a huge project up at Whiting, right?
Yeah, that Whiting Aviation Park is big, and we've got some interest from other companies. I mean, that's a unique opportunity that started back with Commissioner Salter years ago, working that out with the Navy and DOD, being able to utilize that runway for some limited flights in. You know, just a lot of exciting stuff. A lot of challenges still ahead. I mean, with our
our legislative delegation talking about additional property tax exemptions and really limiting our ability to have revenue sources is a challenge when you have all these infrastructure projects and you're trying to move Santa Rosa County forward. And so lots of challenges ahead, but a lot of good stuff accomplished in the last year as well.
Yeah, it's kind of, I mean, it is. It's just nice to look back over what's been done, you know, and notice a, you know, handful or significant number of the wins that have taken place, and they are. So I congratulate you on that. And also on the, you know, year or so roughly, I think, as a county administrator. One of the things I wanted to talk with you about is not a news item per se, but it's just something that I really care a lot about. I hate chain link fences. Like, just in general, they're so ugly. But I especially hate them when I see them around retention ponds, stormwater ponds. And it's something that I probably wouldn't have thought much about, except because my wife and I go bike riding all the time. We are recently, you know, for the last, almost probably a year or more, we've been biking in Baldwin County, you know, Orange Beach and Foley and that area in Alberta. And they don't have them. Their retention ponds, their stormwater ponds, there are a handful of exceptions. But for the most part, they don't have them. And I want to talk with you about that a little bit because, you know, Escambia and Santa Rosa do. And I'm trying to fix that problem. We've got Brad Baker on the line. Brad, hang on for just a second. Let's get a quick traffic report from John Pickens. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Just small delay on 98 just east of the Navarre Beach Bridge through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. Okay, Brad, now I know you don't make policy. You just enforce policy. Okay, so this is really, I'm talking to you even though to the county commissioners, but you're the one I have in front of me. I think these chain link fences look ugly, they dilapidate quickly, and they rob us of an amenity, which is, you know, beautiful looking ponds. And when I'm in Baldwin County, particularly, the ponds are decorative, they have fountains. If they don't have fountains, they at least look nice. The communities look better, period, whereas the chain link fences always make the communities look trashier and worse. So why do we have chain link fence requirements? And maybe just start by, like, is it even on all retention ponds, or is it only on some private? What is the rule right now in Santa Rosa?
Yeah, so the rule for Santa Rosa County is that if you have a public pond, that it must have a chain link fence around it. We don't have that requirement if it's private. But I will tell you, I just passed one here at Dogwood and Berry Hill. It's a very deep pond. It's really big slopes to get to it. It's a wet pond. There's water in it all the time. I would say in the early 90s, and I can't remember when, it was back when I was, you know, in the public safety arena. I was actually on an ambulance, and we had a young kid drowned in a pond. Mm-hmm. And it was, I believe it was actually fenced, but it had a gap in it, et cetera. And that really, public safety issue when you have, especially you have a wet pond, you have big slopes in it, and so that's kind of the public safety concern of that you're trying to do, deter small children especially from going into that pond, and you know, they get away from their parents, and then we have a drowning. I do think there has been a lot of discussion amongst our citizens, talking with me about what does that look like. You know, we have that LDC task force. I don't know that that's going to be what, and, I mean, we are talking stormwater, and that would fall into that that section of the land development code. But I think that's the main challenge, is just how do you balance that public safety? I have seen a lot that you're talking about. They're aesthetically pleasing. You have a walking trail around it, some benches around it. I think if you could get the slope right to where it's a gradual walk into that pond, I do think there would be some, you know, potentially interest in our county in looking at something like that. We were actually working on a project in Holly by the Sea, and we had discussions with their team that had approached us about a hazard mitigation project in there to consider that an aesthetically pleasing pond with a walking trail and benches, et cetera, like you were discussing.
And I know, you know, in Escambia County, there's like the Dreamland Skate on Olive has right behind there is a very big retention pond with a track around it and a bench and a tree. And it's a beautiful facility. And it does not have a chain link fence, which is, I mean, it's wonderful. Yeah. And certainly I understand that's been the argument is that, you know, it's a safety factor. I just feel like, you know, we are a water-based community. We have rivers and lakes and ponds all over the place, and we're not going to put chain-link fences up around the Sound and on the beach and around the Blackwater River, and rightly so. You know, I obviously hate to see when somebody gets hurt, or certainly, God forbid, a child dies, but that, to me, is ultimately the parents' responsibility is to not let their, you know, their children run around. I'm with you on the slope. I can see that some slopes would be a little bit more dangerous than others. It's so stark. It is so stark when you drive around Santa Rosa and Escambia County and it just looks so bad. And you drive around Baldwin County and it looks so good by comparison. You know, it's such a night and day kind of contrast. So, but you say there's been, you know, maybe the LDC task force might look at this and there's some interest among the citizens and, you know, has county commissioners and obviously, you know, you talk with them all the time. Have they expressed an interest to you or even a curiosity about that question?
I've had a couple that at least would like to consider it and look at some of the challenges of implementing that and what it would look like if we changed it. And I think there's a lot more discussion that we had. I will tell you another thing that we talk about pet peeves. You know, one of mine is putting a huge holding pond on a prime piece of property on road frontage. Like, yeah. Why don't we put the pond a little further off? So you'll see that in the Woodbine road widening there at Highway 90 in Woodbine. The pond is going to be on the back of the parcel, this allowing a prime commercial spot there. I mean, but other spots could be residential. I look along the state highways, and we have these huge holding ponds, and they're eating up our prime real estate, where if they were in the back of the property, then the eyesore of the chain link fence, you wouldn't have come to your attention.
Right. And I agree with you in terms of, you know, making the right kind of property more usable. And I actually think a lot of these subdivisions that we bike through, it's kind of funny. If you call it a stormwater, you know, retention pond, you kind of have one picture of what it should be. If you call it a community lake, you know, you have a different picture of what it should be. Yeah. And that's what a lot of them have is like,
you call it an amenity. It looks different.
Right. Right. It, you know, you don't have to have a gated community when you have lakes out front and then it's beautiful and fountains. I mean, like it just is amazing the difference in if you think about it as a plus instead of as a have to, you know, because they all are doing the same thing, even in the middle of communities where you have backyards that go down to these practically dry canals that are obviously retention ponds and or, you know, movement of water facilities. It's a different mindset over there. And that's why I was kind of wanted to ask you about it. Well, Brett, I appreciate the time and, you know, kind of an extended discussion of what I think is an interesting issue. And obviously I want everything to be functional and beautiful and, you know, wonderful. And I know you do, too. Brad, thanks so much for the time, what you do with the county. I appreciate it. Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. Sir, we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
You bet. 652 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Do you have questions about your furry friends and your family pet? Don't miss Pensacola's favorite veterinarian, Dr. Mark Sprayberry, the owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare. He'll answer your pet questions live on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10. Did you know Play and Stay is Pensacola's only doggy daycare with a veterinarian on site? That's peace of mind while your pup plays. Tune in today at 10 and call and text in with your pet questions on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
What do you want in a job? What if this job had great benefits and uncapped income? What if this job was right here in town, working for award-winning radio stations? What if this job had an opening right now as a marketing consultant working with local businesses? What if this job, you occasionally get to listen to one of country music's rising stars or meet a famous TV star or athlete in the office? If you're looking for a job like this and have sales experience, then hurry up and send your resume to hr@newsradio1620.com.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WEAR-TV, News Radio Team, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Get off my property!
It's a free country. I can do whatever I want.
Get off my property or I'll call the cops on you.
Well, then do it! Go on!
Maybe I will. Gosh!
Look, I know it might seem like I'm overly enthusiastic about getting rid of the chain link fences around the stormwater ponds. All I can tell you is when you drive a ride around, especially Escambia and Santa Rosa County, and you just, if you're paying attention, as I do, I see all these houses, I see all the different ways that people live, and all these subdivisions, and all these designs, and you really start to pay attention. And, you know, then you go around Baldwin County, and you're like, oh my God, it can be like this?
And, you know, living in South Florida for a while, I saw what it could be. It's beautiful. They made it beautiful down there.
Yes, and something that's an, you know, obligation for managing stormwater does not have to be an ugly thing that you hide in the back behind the chain link fence. It can be an amenity, a feature, a beautiful thing, a thing that makes your community look better. And I just don't know why we have gone the other way on this. And that's why I'm, you know, a little bit over vehemently, trying to talk to our county leaders in both counties and be like, let's do better. We can do better. 655 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now, but if you're traveling on Highway 90 around East Milton from downtown Milton into East Milton, you're going to see some delays as that's just congestion issues. 98 is actually looking pretty good right now through that construction zone. Highway 29, both north and southbound, as you approach and leave 9 Mile Road, starting to see some congestion slowdowns there also. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Well, somebody here raises an interesting question. How about getting rid of the chain link fence around the public schools and get something nicer there too? Or, I don't know, can I give you a really crazy idea? What if we went back to like the 70s when we just didn't have to have fences around the schools?
They put one up around Milton High School, and I'm like, why?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just the uglification of everything.
And the kids know where they can get in and out. Trust me, my son tells me.
Yeah, and I mean, that which correlates or dovetails with my other complaint about schools, which is here you have these very nice public amenities, these parks. And when I was a kid, you played at the school.
Mm-hmm.
You played on the monkey bars, you know, you played on the jungle gym, you played baseball on the baseball field. I mean, that's what we did as kids. You played, you know, practice your tennis swing against the wall of the school because there was a, you know, asphalt out on the back. And that's where, I mean, and now, no, we got to lock these up. We got to protect the kids from everything. And we get, you know, we can't. Okay. You know, there's a cost to that way of thinking. And by the way, you know, what are you teaching the kids now? You're keeping you safe or we're keeping you imprisoned? I mean, which one is it? Like, because it's kind of both.
Well, my son says it's prison.
Yeah.
He feels like it because he was there before when they had no
when it
fence.
Was open? Yes. Yeah. And same. That's how I feel when I look at it. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know, Andrew, somewhere out there, there's a chain link fence enthusiast who's hyperventilating and just really having a bad morning.
437-1620. 437-1620. No, what I was thinking is, you know, probably I won't be sponsored by a chain link fence company anytime soon.
Chain link.
Probably not going to be doing live reads for, yep. You know, Smith & Sons, chain link fence to you or
yeah,
something.
They're pulling their ads. Effective right now.
That's right.
U.S. and Ukrainian officials are holding talks today in Saudi Arabia in an attempt to get a ceasefire in the war with Russia. The start of those talks are not being intended by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Of course, Ukraine launched their large drone attack against Russia yesterday. The Department of Education warning 60 colleges and universities to protect Jewish students or risk losing federal funding. In letters sent to schools across the country yesterday, the department said that the Civil Rights Act requires students to have uninterrupted access to campus facilities and educational opportunities. And three people have died after a medical helicopter crash. This is in rural Mississippi. The Madison County Sheriff's Office there says the chopper went down in a densely wooded area near the Natchez Trace. It's not known what caused the crash. The FAA is currently investigating.
All right. Natchez Trace, by the way.
Oh, thank you. You're welcome. I appreciate that.
So 437-1620. Let's see. Somebody here says, I'm waving my Democratic ping pong paddle. Do better. But I especially don't like the chain link fences with the I especially don't like the chain link fences with the slats in them to make them decorative. Yeah. Somebody says, oh, I'm not making any chain link fence friends in the chain link fence community. Somebody says, did I seriously just suggest that safety is not as important as having play equipment at school? I'm saying that there's trade-offs in all these things.